I thought this year I would call what I want to say Vicar's Reflection, bearing in mind that it needs to be brief, as I have told myself several times. And I'd like just to take a moment first to say a huge thank you to you. I'm humbled when I look around at all the things that go on in St Mary's and at the Heath Church and at the Mill. And it's just fantastic to see a church where everybody plays a part. I can't go round and start ticking off lists and naming people because I'll miss someone out. But it's just wonderful to be part of a church that is so active. So thank you to you for all that you have done in the last year. Wonderful to hear Tim just share a few of the things, but we could have gone on for hours talking about the things that are going on in our community. A little bit later on, in a moment, I'm going to interview a couple of people who are quite new to the church. Because I don't know about you, but I feel sometimes when you've been part of a community for quite a long time, it's quite easy just to settle into it and think, oh, that's the way everything is everywhere. You know, if you've moved into a house, you think, we must paint that room. And 6 years later, you're beginning to think, well, it's not quite the priority that we thought it was. So really helpful just to listen to some perspectives from people who've joined a little bit more recently. So I'm going to interview a couple of people in a moment. But before we do that, I just want to reflect for a moment on some of the things that we've been thinking about at St Mary's. Apologies if you're at the Heath Church. But over the last term, our series, both at the morning and evening, have been on identity. We've been asking ourselves, what does it mean to be the people of God in this place? Identity is a huge issue in our community. It's a huge issue, I think, particularly with social media around. Our children, our teenagers, are being bombarded with messages about who they are. You and I are bombarded with messages about who we are, what makes us tick, what's most important in our lives. And we as Christians need to take time to pause and listen to what God says about our identity. I suspect that this gentleman has been listening in on our podcasts because he's had something to say just recently in the last couple of weeks about identity. I'm sure you will have heard him or read about him discovering at such a late stage in life, who his real biological father was and is. And Justin Welby has said this, reported all over the world. I know that I find who I am in Jesus Christ, not in genetics, and my identity in him never changes. And I just want to celebrate that. It's been picked up by all sorts of people. The Spectator magazine, a secular magazine, said, this is really all we need to know about him. What an extraordinary thing to say. But all of us face challenges. As a church community and as individuals within that community, one of the things that I want to encourage us to think about in the year ahead is this: how firmly rooted is my identity in Jesus Christ? See, one of the things about our identity is that we can sometimes get it from labels other people put on us. We can get it from our own agendas, which might be good agendas, but if we're not careful, they start to form who we are instead of letting Jesus form it. We, earlier in our series, looked at what it means to be children of God, and it seems to me that the Archbishop of Canterbury is articulating, first and foremost, that he knows his identity is as a child of God. And as a church community, as we look ahead, we need to know that that's our primary identity. We looked at this wonderful verse earlier in this series from John 1. Yet to all who did receive him, that's Jesus Christ, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Look around this church this morning and you'll see brothers and sisters, people who are identified, whose core identity is as children of God. Do you know that that's your core identity? We get to that core identity by being disciples of Christ, by believing in his name, as John puts it. We're going to be thinking about that this evening in our service here at St. Mary's over in the church centre. Come and join us if you want to know more about that. Tim's already mentioned that our purpose statement as a church, which hasn't changed for a few years, is this: building a community to reach a community with the love of God. And I want to suggest that in terms of discipleship, in terms of identity, we could reword that and still it would mean the same thing. Growing disciples and making disciples. That's what we're about as a church community. All the other things, all the agendas and the meetings and the events that we are proposing in the year ahead have to feed in to that core sense of purpose and identity. Or to put it a slightly another different way, growing disciple making disciples. I'm delighted that Helen Fraser is leading a little team looking at how we grow as disciples across the whole of the church. A really important thing for us to think about for the future. How are you growing as a disciple of Jesus, I wonder? A very personal question. What's your direction of travel like? I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think God's more interested in your direction of travel than where you are in relation to Jesus. Are you drawing towards him or are you drifting away? That's a question for you if you've been a Christian for decades. It's a question for you if you're only just on the verge of making a commitment to Jesus, of becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Where are you on that journey? We're making good progress with time, which is wonderful. I want to just finish before we sing by just reflecting back on another disciple. A couple of weeks ago, we had at our 9 o'clock, the text from John 21. And if I can have the laptop back on, that would be great. I want just to remind you of two stories you know very well about Peter, who was an early disciple of Jesus. Two stories, one in John 18 and one in John 21, both of which happen around a fire, a coal fire. In John 18, Peter, who has promised Jesus several times in the Gospels that even if everybody else falls away, he will never let him down. Peter, in John 18, denies Jesus three times around the fire. And you'll know the story, the cock crows. And then in John 21, we have this lovely story of the disciples fishing on Lake Galilee and coming back ashore to find Jesus cooking breakfast around a charcoal fire. And Jesus and Peter have another discussion. And Jesus restores Peter, as he does every single disciple who goes wrong. And I want to say this morning that if you're thinking, oh, all these other people are good disciples, but I've blown it, then you're in very good company with Peter. And the thing about that conversation that I just want to leave with you this morning, I mentioned it at our PCC meeting a couple of weeks ago, the thing that's really struck me as I've been revisiting that story is that when Jesus and Peter get together and it's all a little bit awkward, because Peter surely is thinking, oh no, will he have me back? Jesus doesn't say, right, Peter, let's go over it and find out what went wrong so I can decide whether I can trust you again. Jesus three times simply asked Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Jesus isn't really interested in going back over the mechanics of what happened. He just wants to know, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And in the Greek, and as in the English, that's all a bit ambiguous. More than what? More than the other disciples? More than the fishing? I think Jesus says, well, that doesn't matter. It's all about your priority. Do you love me more than these? And I want at this APCM, as we look forward to the year ahead, to say the challenge for us as a church and as individuals is to hear Jesus ask us this question. Do you love me more than these? And these might be all sorts of other things. Some of them good. Some of them that could become a distraction. But my prayer, my longing, is for myself, as well as for us as a church and as individuals, we'll be able to respond as Peter did. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, says Jesus, feed my sheep. Get on with the mission and ministry that I have in store for you. Let's commit ourselves this year to growing disciple making disciples and being one of them. I'm going to pray in a minute, but I want to leave you just with that thought. Do you love me more than these?